Hi, this is Kate Magic and you're listening to the Raw Living Podcast. Raw Living is Europe's leading raw foods and superfood supplier, and I founded the company back in 2002. In this interview series, I'm talking to some of the people behind the brands that we offer on our shop to find out what exactly is the ethos behind the company. Not just the ingredients that they use and the processes that they use to create the end results, but I'm asking them other questions like, how do they show respect for the environment? How do they treat their workers and their relationship to the farmers who grow the crops? All the companies that we work with are putting huge amounts of dedication and commitment into creating products that are benefiting not just you, but also the whole ecosystem, the planet, the people. And with this series, I'm hoping to show insights into that. When you're shopping with these companies, you're really not just investing in your health, you're truly investing in a better world for us all. I'm speaking with Shane Starling of Raw Vegan Rising. Shane, thank you so much for joining me today.
You are very welcome. It's my pleasure to be here.
I don't know how we've never met before, because someone told me a story and so I was researching it. And your video is the first thing that came up, and there you were, and you've got this whole movement going on. And for years and years, I've been saying, I feel like I'm the last raw fooder standing. And there you were as well out there. And I never knew you were doing it.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad. Yeah. You know, we put ourselves out there, and who finds us when the time is right. You know, I do put myself out on social media. I have a YouTube channel, Instagram, Facebook. I put out a lot of content, and, you know, I have my group coaching program, Raw Vegan Heroes, has thousands of members. So yeah. It's pretty active. Yeah. It's pretty active community and environment. I'm just committed to helping share the powerful message of healing with raw foods.
Yeah. You know? Well, I love to talk about the history of the raw food movement, because I feel like it's really important to have everything in context. And as I shared with you, I've been doing it for over 30 years. And there was this wave of popularity about 10 years ago now, where, you know, it suddenly became trendy. There was suddenly loads of books out. There was restaurants everywhere. And then I would say by about 2014, 2015, that started to dip off. But I think, if I'm right, your work has kind of started at that point where it started to dip off, and you're carrying on the wave in your own way.
That's good. Yeah. Well, to be honest, I think that the history is interesting and all, but I'm not trying to carry on any history. I'm actually just trying to speak into the truth of the human biology and how it works. There's no denying that a raw vegan diet supports cellular regeneration and detoxification of the body. That right there means that raw food isn't a movement. It is a way of life that supports health in the human organism. So for that, we have to talk about it. We have to share it. I find that I get a lot of hate. I get a lot of haters on my social media. So it's not a popular message. I do this because the truth is the truth. The truth needs to be spoken. The truth is self-evident for those with eyes and ears to see. So it's really more of, like, I think of myself as more of like a messenger, you know, than anything else. I'm just a messenger. Am I part of the raw food movement? I don't even know. I don't think about it like that. I think I'm a messenger for the highest level of truth. That's what my goal is, I guess.
Amazing. You know? Amazing. Yeah. There's lots of things I want to ask you, but I'd love maybe for you to start and to share with people your age, because I think they will be like, wow. And then also I think to share, because this is a criticism often of raw foods, is, you know, we won't kind of go into it, but there's a lot of people that have been quite extreme with the diet and haven't ended up being so healthy and don't look so great. And obviously you are a wonderful glowing advertisement for being a long-term raw vegan. So perhaps you could talk about that with us.
Yes, that's a great point to bring up. I would love to talk about it. I am 51 years old and I have been fully raw vegan for 7 years, but I didn't start there. I actually went plant-based for the first time when I was 17 years old in 1990. In 1990, there was no vegan junk food in the store. There was no meat or cheese products. There was only whole food. So I was forced to learn a plant-based diet from Whole Food. I started juicing when I was 18. I got my first juicer. I first attempted a fully raw vegan diet at the age of 30, which was 21 years ago now. And I've been working to just master a plant-based diet, master health for the human biology. What does that take? Definitely plant-based, without question. I mean, for me, the conversation of should we be eating animal products is a completely moot point. I have been on my plant-based journey for 35 years. So the answer to that question is absolutely not. In no way do animal products provide any benefit to the human biology. It is a survival food. We can survive on it, sure. It's not beneficial, though, for our biology to thrive at the highest level. So then we move into the question of a plant-based diet. How does a plant-based diet support the biology best? And then we talk about starches and we talk about fats. Like, do we want to eat cooked fats, like fried fats, fried foods, stir-fry fats? No, I don't think fried fats are the path to health because fried fats, cooked fats, are oxidized and molecularly altered. It creates real free radical damage in the body. So then we say, okay, well, if we're not going to eat fried, cooked, heated fats, then we're looking at raw fats from plant-based sources, raw nuts and seeds. And avocados. And then we can look at the starch conversation. Should we be eating our carbohydrates from cooked starchy vegetables or from the simple carbohydrates in fruits? Well, fruits are a superior form of carbohydrate for the human biology because it brings electrical activity to the cells. So we have to be electrically activated to be living at our highest potential. If we have no electrical activity in the body, we have chronic degenerative disease and we end up like a dead piece of meat on the floor. Electrical activity is what animates us. So fruits bring electrical activity into the body. Starches don't do that. Cooked starches have no electrical activity whatsoever at all, zero. So right there, we can see plus oxygenation of the body. So raw fruits and vegetables for carbohydrates oxygenate the blood, oxygenate the tissues. Cooked foods, cooked starches don't do that. Also, hydration, hydrating the body on a cellular level, cooked starches don't do that. So we can see right there through hydration, oxygenation, and electrical activity, fruits and raw fruits and vegetables are a superior form of carbohydrate for this human biology, this human organism. So if we can agree, we're not really going to benefit from cooked, heated, oxidized fats. And we're not going to benefit from cooked starches. That leaves us with a raw vegan diet. So anyone who's interested in a raw vegan diet can really just look at it that way. I don't recommend people think about what do I have to eliminate out of my diet? Come on, let's not make it harder on ourselves. Let's just think about what should we be eating for optimal health? And so, you know, if you just give up the cooked fats and the cooked starches, you're automatically raw vegan. So that's what I've done. That's what I've been working on for my life and my lifestyle. And there's some serious benefits that happen when we do that. One is anti-aging benefits because oxygenation, hydration, and the electrical activity helps the body regenerate, reproduce cells properly. There's no interference with the DNA and RNA replication. So our skin, hair, and nails can all rejuvenate. Raw foods purify the bowels, cleanse and purify the bowels, blood and lymphatic system, all the interstitial fluids. So that helps with anti-aging automatically. If we're eating animal products, we have to look at this honestly. If we're eating cooked animal products like cooked meats, cheeses that are pasteurized dairy products, cooked eggs, those foods are congesting to the bowels, the blood, and the lymphatic system. Puts a lot of lipids into the body, which we don't need, and that slows everything down. Plus, the proteins are denatured. There's no fiber, there's no hydration, no water, no fiber enzymes, or electrical activity or oxygenation. So, right there, I stick to the fruits and vegetables and raw nuts and seeds. Now, people can think we would become nutrient deficient when we eat a raw vegan diet. However, if we just look at what kind of nutrition the body needs, for one, we have to talk about absorption. We can't talk about deficiency of nutrition until we talk about the health of the body's absorption system in the gut and the microbiome. Is our gut healthy enough to absorb all of the nutrition in a plant-based diet to begin with? Most people coming from a cooked food diet or an animal product-based diet, a standard American diet or a standard omnivore-style diet, we are dealing with very, very weak absorption, very weak digestion. We become dependent on cooked foods. We become dependent on animal products and heavily cooked protein-dense foods. And the supplements that are in these products, fortified in the dairy products, and of course, the supplements fed to livestock, we become dependent on that. And so really, we have to strengthen our own digestive system to get the most out of a plant-based diet. Now, the miracle, though, is that when we do that, when we strengthen our own digestive system, then we can get all of the nutrition we need from a raw plant-based diet. But not only that, we can get more nutrition from less food, which burdens the body less because, of course, digestion is what's going to speed up our metabolism and burn us out and age us faster. The more food we eat, the quicker we're going to die. The less food we eat, the longer we're going to live. That's just proven. We know that by science. So then we want to eat less food, but we want to get high nutrition, high nutrient levels. So a plant-based diet doesn't make us nutrient deficient. It makes us have to become stronger if we're going to do it correctly. So people who are getting sick and looking terrible are one of two things: coming to a plant-based diet to heal because they already have chronic illness. And that's really most of the cases. People have chronic illness, or it attracts people with eating disorders because it is, it's different than the standard. So it does attract people with eating disorders. As with a lot of, different diets, it can. And then also people can not spend the time necessary to strengthen the digestive system and the absorption from the digestive system. So then if you don't focus on gut health, gut rehabilitation, and gut strength, then you're not really focusing on a raw vegan diet at all. You're just focusing on the food you're eating. You're not focusing on the biology, the health of the biology. My whole focus on being a raw vegan is the health of my biology. And so I can't eat cooked foods in good conscience thinking that that's going to make me healthy. It's just an absurd proposition. And so therefore, I have to focus on gut health, absorption health, my body's ability to convert and utilize nutrients. And then I have to focus on a wide variety of nutrient-dense food sources so my body can get the variety, the nutrition, the nutrient density, and then that combined creates health. But if you don't focus on those components, then yeah, you can become nutrient deficient or fall off or become, these examples we see of people who aren't doing it right. So this does lead me, though, to one of the big debates in the raw vegan conversation is fruitarian. A lot of people are, mesmerized by this idea of fruitarian lifestyles, like it's some magical thing where if we just eat fruit, but we restrict proteins and fats, I think we can get into trouble. Yeah. And if we restrict any macronutrient, we can get into trouble. Right. So therefore, this fantasy of a fruitarian diet, just living on fruits like we were primates in the jungle, isn't really ideal. However, we can have 75% of our calories coming from fruits as our primary source of carbohydrates, as long as we're getting adequate omega-3 fats, as long as we're getting adequate amino acids. Yeah, we can eat a fruit-based diet. I am a fruit-based raw vegan, but I don't call myself a fruitarian because I don't like the restrictive, dogmatic kind of ideology that goes with fruitarianism. So I call myself a raw vegan, although I do eat primarily fruit. And I do think that's the best way to go, but we can't restrict. So that's my take on it. And that's why I think people aren't a good example. Because I've been able to be a good example of a raw vegan diet working for me at 51, I've been on this journey a long time, 35 years. I first attempted my first juice fast back when I was 18. I did my first real extended juice fast when I was about 30. and went raw vegan at 30, and then didn't, I had to go back to cook foods. I wasn't quite ready psychologically. And now I've been fully raw vegan. So I've done it. I've transitioned my body, and it's the best path for health. It will help people reclaim. Here's my spiel. Let me just give people a little pep talk. Whoever's listening, if you're listening, a raw vegan diet is the path. A raw vegan diet is the best health for the human biology possible. It's life-changing. It's incredible. But you got to do it right. You got to have support, knowledge, accountability, handholding, protocols, whatever you need to get it accomplished properly. Don't go into it willy-nilly and think you're going to get the right results. Do it properly and you'll get miraculous results that change your life, help you reclaim your health, give your body that composition you've been looking for, help you look and feel sexy, help you look and feel younger, help you feel the best of your life. And then it's a spiritual practice. It's like a 2.0 upgrade. It gives us a reason to live, a reason to be in the world. It gives us a reason to give back. It gives us a reason to help others. A raw vegan diet is so natural and harmonious and synergistic with the human body that when we feel it, we want to share it. We want to help others get there. And so that's a really great life purpose. A raw vegan diet is mind, body, soul integration. It's vision, values, actions integration. It's spiritual alignment, soul purpose, mission work integration. It's future focused, evolutionary awakening. You know, that's what it is. And so when we step onto that path, it's big stuff. It's big stuff. And there's really no before and after. I think once you experience the pinnacle of a raw vegan diet, there's no going back. Even if you do go back, the bar has been set. You'll always know the truth. You'll feel the truth. You can't deny the truth. You can play dumb. You can, you know, numb out with cooked foods. A lot of people want to do that in this lifetime, and that's fine. But when you know the truth, when you've had that awakening breakthrough, it's a before and after, and there's really no going back.
So here's my question then, because for me, it was intuitive and I've always liked to eat this way. And you've just done such a beautiful job of telling us all the reasons why it's wonderful. So break down for us a bit more. Why do people find it so hard to transition and to stay raw?
Well, I think it's psychological. Number one, we are here in the physical form, and as creatures of comfort, we're seeking comfort, and then we become addicted to the comfort. So we, through life, we have wounding, trauma, abandonment, abuse, things that hurt us emotionally. And then we've learned to use food to kind of comfort ourselves and to numb out. So the number one reason people like cooked food is because it's emotionally comfortable. Not physically comfortable, because it creates distress in the body. It creates aggravated immune. It creates inflammation, autoimmune response. It creates constipation, dehydration, all of these things. So it's not our body that likes cooked food. It's our mental, emotional state. We've been trained from birth to use food to numb out to the stark truth of reality. It's like waking up in the Matrix, like the Matrix movies, you know, when they would wake up and it was a stark reality. A lot of people would just rather stay asleep in the Matrix. That's fine if you want to do that. And when you do wake up, yeah, you see the truth, and the truth is harsh and real and stark and has to be dealt with its own set of tools. We're not equipped to deal with the true emotional rawness of life because we're not trained to. We're not trained as leaders. We're not trained as healers. We're not trained as mystics and alchemists. So instead, we numb out because we're not trained. We don't have the tools to deal with the emotional trauma and stress of life. But there's a unique opportunity with being raw vegan where we can go back and connect with our original wounding, our original fragmentation, our original heartbreak, and use that as a method of our own healing. That it, you know, we are stamped on our hearts by God with a unique trauma experience that shows us the path of our own healing. And a raw vegan diet gives us that path more clear than anything else that we could possibly do in our life. It shows us where we are not healed. It's like the ultimate shadow work. And if we can use a raw vegan diet in combination with our shadow work and our emotional healing, then we become someone who is really unstoppable, on purpose, inspirational, unstoppable at the highest level of the expression here on planet Earth. It's a healing journey. This is why it's a spiritual healing journey, is because of those factors. And, you know, when people argue for cooked food, I just see the lack of tools to cope with the harshness of true reality, which is that we have to face our pain, we have to face our shame, and we have to transmute the shame and the grief and the loss and the fear into our greatest triumph. We have to transmute the worst thing that ever happened to us, the thing we're most ashamed about and causes us the most pain, sorrow, and grief, and turn that into the best thing that ever happened to us. That's what life is for. That's why we came here. If we're not doing that, we're not actually playing all out. And very few people are doing that. Very, very few. Very few.
Amazing. Amazing. So for me, it's always been a spiritual diet. And as I said, when it had that period of being trendy and there was all the books coming out, everything, the spiritual aspect was kind of really missing from what everyone was sharing. It became about all these kind of gourmet recipes and, you know, the celebrities that were doing it. And then when everything started tailing off again, I interviewed Gabriel Cousins because he was one of the few people I could think of that was still promoting raw veganism. And I asked him, why do you think it didn't sustain that peak in the movement? And he said, because people didn't put spirituality at the heart of it. And I love that you're really doing that and you're really bringing it to the forefront. So could you expand on that as why you see the raw foods as integral to a spiritual practice or as a spiritual practice?
Yeah, raw foods are a spiritual practice. Raw foods are certainly my spiritual practice. It's a way to empower our body physically, empower our mind mentally, empower our emotions with clarity, and to just fortify the connection with our divine source, you know, so we can feel where we come from clearer and who we're supposed to be and how to contribute. This is the spiritual path, is who we are supposed to be and how we can contribute. Every human being has a very deep need, a very deep driver inside of us to create service, value, and help others. But if we're not on that path, see, this is where we're not equipped with our tools, because if we're not on a path to help others and serve others, we become very agitated. We become depressed, anxious, fearful, and we give up on life and we lose the meaning of life. So we have to get back into alignment with the fact that we're here to serve. We have to create a way to serve. And a raw vegan diet just gives us the edge. It gives us the clarity, the energy, the focus to see what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it, how we can apply ourselves. So really, the purpose of life is not food. It's not to eat a raw vegan diet. That's not the purpose. The purpose, as I see it, is to serve, to be a servant, have a servant's heart, really, and to do our best to improve the human experience now and 10,000 years from now, and for all of the future of humanity, to leave the earth a better place than how we found it, to contribute to the evolution of consciousness itself, to move the needle one step further on the scale of evolution. That's what we're here to do. That's the purpose of life. And then a raw vegan diet is just a support system for that. Imagine we're eating traumatized animals coming out of the factory farming system, bred and, you know, herded and kept captive their whole lives just to be slaughtered for food. That's immoral. It's unethical. And then we eat that and we think that we can move the needle one step further on the scale of evolution. It's impossible. So we have to eat a high vibrational diet that is free from the karmic traumas. And of course, we can do that with a plant-based diet, but then we can even take it a step further where we empower ourselves with a nonviolent diet of raw food that's undenatured, uncooked, and it's really a higher vibration to experience that. And then that gives us the foundation to do the real work, which is service and being able to provide value for society and people. That's what we have to do. So it's pretty simple. It's not food. It's not food. Food is just a tool to become the best version of ourselves.
Right, right. I always say, I believe that raw foods is the ascension diet. Can you speak on about this time particularly? And you've kind of touched on it already, but why it's so applicable to this time that we're in?
there's a war happening for good and evil on this planet. There's a war inside of us, and every single choice we make empowers which side is going to win. We got the angels on this side, we got the devils on this side, and we empower the army of the angels, or we empower the army of the devils that want control and want to take our sovereignty. But our choices can empower the highest growth, sovereignty, and evolution of the human race. So we have to be very mindful of our choices, because every choice, whether we're aware of it or not, empowers one side or the other. This is the eternal good battle of good versus evil, but it's also just, you know, whether we're empowering the devils in our bowels, you know, the cesspool,
parasites,
the filth. Yeah, the parasites, right? That control us and manipulate us. Parasites that are billions of years old, that have evolved with us, use us as hosts to get their needs met. They like the meat and the dairy and the eggs. And so they're using us, and we are either empowering them or not. The true gift of a raw vegan diet is sovereignty, spiritual sovereignty. It is like waking up in the matrix, to use that analogy again. We are free, but we have to face the truth of who we really are. And that can be uncomfortable, but I'd rather know the truth than, you know, stay in my comfort zone. So I'm willing to face that truth. And we do that by freeing our gut from the microbes that control us, freeing our mind and our karmic energy from the energies that control us, because ultimately we are bound to karmic energies that want us to stay the same when we eat the suffering, the death foods, you know, dead foods in general, even cooked plant-based foods are just, you know, it's a struggle. And there's a violence to that, because we're not supporting our body at the highest level. So it's almost like a form of self-abuse. And this is really strange for a lot of people to hear or understand. A lot of people think I'm out there for saying it, but I think cooking our food is a form of low self-esteem. Right. It's a form of self-abuse, perpetuating the trauma patterns that come from our lineage. So these are trauma patterns that have been perpetuated for thousands of years, possibly hundreds of thousands of years, from original trauma wounding that is from our family line. It's not even ours, but we're carrying it. We've taken on the burden from our parents, unbeknownst to anyone, them or us. And now we want to uphold the burden. We want to uphold the trauma patterns. It's the Stockholm syndrome. We become sympathetic with our own captors, and we want to perpetuate the trauma over and over and pass it on to our children. Yeah. So the spiritual awakening path is truly sovereignty. It's breaking the lineage trauma patterns. It's taking control of our own destiny for the truth, for once and for all. It's like standing at the top of the mountain and seeing the vista below for the real, for the first time ever. It's that's where it gets you. That's where a raw vegan diet takes you. That's my path. I was born for this path. For me, eating raw vegan didn't get me here where I'm at now. It's that I was already going here. It's that I needed raw food to be my ally, my support system. So I have to eat raw vegan. It's just a given. I've learned this over the years of my plant-based journey, 35 years plant-based, mastering plant-based, figuring out how to make plant-based work, that I've got to eat raw vegan for my spiritual sovereignty, for my awakening consciousness, to help me become the best version of myself, to help me contribute and serve at the highest level possible. I have to do that. So, the last thing I'd like to just say on that is the battle of good versus evil is how I look at it is the status quo wants to uphold the old guard, the way we've done it for hundreds of thousands of years, eating animals, death. Somebody has to die for us to live. Is that actually true? It's actually not true. And though, so there we can make a choice to live without the death of another being, you know? And then, so that is a real high level awakening marker. That is moving the needle one notch further on the scale of evolution. So the way I look at it, the battle I'm fighting and why I do the work that I do is, am I empowering the old guard that wants to uphold the old status quo system that I think is outdated, archaic, violent, and gruesome? and really just holds us back and keeps us stuck in a trauma pattern? Or do we want to break free from the trauma pattern and see a whole new potential for the human race, our future on Earth, the future of our destiny, and the legacy that we're going to leave as benevolent, kind, spiritually awake beings? Which side are we empowering? We empower one side or the other with every choice we make, including our thoughts. So we actually have to be diligent with our thoughts. We have to have self-affirming, self-loving thoughts. Most people beat themselves up inside and talk so poorly on themselves. They see somebody like me on Instagram and they just project their violence and their hate on me, but they really just have violence and hate toward themselves every day. You know, they abuse themselves with cooked meat every single day. And then they see me and they think, you know, they project that. And I have a lot of compassion. I have a lot of compassion. But look, people, it's up to us. We got to do that work inside every day through our choices. Good self-talk, clean food, and make the choice for the right side of awakening.
Have you seen Craspiracy?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I think you'll love it. I think Jesus was raw vegan. Do you think that?
You know, from what I've learned and what my intuition combined with texts I've read and everything I know, I would say yes.
The whole movie is about Jesus was a vegan and that it's all been edited out of the religious texts to not eat meat, because that's the first law in all the religious texts is thou shalt not kill, and how that's been like a big conspiracy to remove that from the text. So they talk about him being vegan, but they don't go as far as saying he was
vegan.
That's my belief.
Yeah, well, technically eating cooked food is killing the food.
Exactly.
It's killing the living vitality, the enzymes, the oxygen, hormones, phytonutrients, volatile chemicals, and minerals that are in the food. We kill it. So it is a form of killing.
Yeah.
And if thou shalt not kill, it includes the food we put in our body.
Right.
And so, yes, I do think that Jesus was a raw vegan, and it would make sense that Jesus was a healer through the understanding of the human biology, and the foods that we put in our body can heal. So it was, I don't think Jesus was just a magical, like, wave his hand and people are healed. I think you eat raw food and you are healed on a mental, emotional, physical level. So this is the healing I've experienced. This person who's talking to you guys right now, this is not the same person I was before I went raw vegan. When I was a cooked vegan, I was in my trauma loops. I was playing small. I was afraid to step up. I was afraid to be seen. I was afraid to stand out or speak my truth. I didn't have a public-facing persona or image or effort at all. It's only through being raw vegan that I realized my service was through this type of work. So I got out of my own way. I got committed to others, which has led me here.
Beautiful. So you mentioned that you eat primarily fruit. Can you break down for us what a typical day's intake might look? What do you drink and what times do you like to eat and not eat?
Yeah, I do like to limit my eating window. As a 51-year-old man, I can't just eat constantly from morning till night. So I generally try to eat between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Uh-huh. So I limit my eating window to 8 hours. I think that's reasonable. I start my day with a smoothie, usually a power smoothie filled with superfoods and nutrient density, calories. I will add superfoods and minerals and things that are nutrient dense into my smoothie. So my morning smoothie is a power smoothie, and it's a formulated smoothie for nutritional success. I don't just throw a bunch of like frozen fruit in a blender and think that's going to be adequate. And my morning smoothie has taken me many years of trial and error and finding what works and empowers my body and supports my health. So I talk about my smoothies. I have YouTube videos. I just did a YouTube video with Jillian Berry, her YouTube channel, and I talked a lot about my primary number one power smoothie that I make. So it's on the YouTube, it's on the internet that I talk about it. But what I would say to people who want to try a raw vegan diet or just, you know, wanting to empower that choice of good versus evil is that you have to start with just what works. And it's okay for it to be messy and imperfect. and just eat a lot. Like, so the bottom line is what works for me isn't going to work for somebody who's 6 months raw vegan or 1 year raw vegan. I mean, and you know this, you said 30 years raw vegan for you. I mean, what works for you or somebody that's farther in the journey is going to be different because of the gut health, because of absorption abilities, because of the body's digestive strength and overall vitality. It's going to be a completely different experience. In the beginning, it can be quite messy and uncomfortable to try to stay full. And so then you just have to eat a lot. That's what I say. Eat a lot of proteins, carbs, and fats from all raw sources. But for me now, I have a smoothie for breakfast. I have fruit for lunch, and I have salad for dinner. That's generally how it goes. I can sometimes have fruit for dinner, you know. I like sprouts. I eat a lot of sprouts. I make lentil sprouts for protein. I do focus on protein. I like greens and lentil sprouts. Other sprouts and sprouted legumes are great for me. And as long as I'm hitting a nutrient ratio that works for me. So I go for about 65% of my calories from carbohydrates, not just fruit, but carbohydrates, raw carbohydrates. And then about 15% of my calories from protein and about 20% of my calories from fats, raw omega-3 rich sources of fats, which tend to be like chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds. You know, these are high in protein and also high in omega-3s. And so I can balance the proteins and fats, and then the rest is fruit. So that's what I found works best for me.
Do you take any supplements or just everything that goes in your morning smoothie?
I don't take supplements for deficiency purposes. So people think supplements are to make up for something that's lacking in the diet. I take supplements to enhance my physical well-being. So I supplement with things that is beneficial to supplement with because my body thrives on more of it.
Right.
Not because I don't have any of it and I need to have some of it.
Right.
My body needs more of it, like minerals. I supplement with minerals. I do colloidal fulvic minerals. I do oxygenating minerals. I do trace minerals. I have about 3 or 4 mineral supplements that I use every single day. Shilajit, sea moss. Those are other examples. So that's one thing that I use. I also find my body responds well to, I take magnesium every day. Magnesium, you know, for like sleep support. Mm-hmm. I love magnesium, and I think we're generally deficient in magnesium. So I'll supplement with magnesium, but that's not like from a food, you know, that's just my body does well with extra magnesium, you know? So I don't take supplements because, you know, like as a vegan, cooked vegan, I went 15 years without ever taking a B12 supplement, 15 years. Was I B12 deficient? I don't know. I never tested. I never had any deficiency signs. I know some people can be. I don't recommend going without B12, but I do recommend strengthening your body's digestive system. I went vegan at a very young age. I started juicing green juices when I was 18. You know, I have a very different gut microbiome than somebody coming from a cooked food diet. You can't come from eating meat and dairy to a plant-based diet and expect to get adequate B12. You become hyper-dependent on the B12 supplements fed to the livestock and that's fortified in the meat and the eggs and dairy. You can't do that. So yeah, a meat eater and omnivore is going to need a B12 supplement. But for me as a teenager and through my 20s, like I said, I went 15 years without ever taking a B12 supplement. Now I do because it's just good measure. Why not? I don't really see why not, but yeah. I don't do it for deficiency purposes. I like B vitamins in general, so I'm very strategic about how I get B vitamins, and I might supplement some, but I also go for B vitamin-rich foods as well. So I find my body just thrives on high focus on Bs and the B vitamins in general. It's energizing to the body. It helps the body recover from stress properly, you know, and you can get B12 in some green powders have it, superfoods have it, well water and spring water has it. Organic soil has it. Certain seaweeds and fermented foods have it. Rejuvelac, you know, Ann Wigmore's awesome Rejuvelac. Make Rejuvelac, some B12 in there, depending on how you make it. So there's a lot of sources where we can get what we need without depending on over-the-counter pharmaceutical artificial supplements, you know?
Yeah. What about drinking? What sort of things do you drink?
Water. My water source is spring water. I have actually a really high quality spring water delivery service here in Austin because I'm on a municipal water system here at the house I live at. So I go out of my way, spend extra money to get the very best water available to me delivered to my house. And it doesn't matter how much it costs because water is primary. So I have the best water. And it would be nice if I could just walk down to the spring, the natural spring, or have a well, but I don't have that. So I have to spend extra money and to prioritize that. And I do. Besides that, I drink juice and hydrate through my diet. Yeah, I mean, my diet is very hydrating. You know, I don't often even need to drink water. I do drink water. I make myself drink certain amounts of water. Like first thing in the morning when I wake up, I start my day with a glass of water just to put it in the digestive system. But I, you know, I will have fruit in the morning, smoothie in the morning. I'm constantly having hydration.
And you said that this is just like one aspect of a whole lifestyle to you. Could you share a few of your daily practices that help keep you really grounded and healthy? Like maybe what you do for exercise or anything else that really kind of anchors you into your well-being?
Yeah, well, there's two things that I do. One is exercise. Regular exercise is really important. I usually walk like a couple miles a day at least. And I go to the gym and I lift weights. I think weightlifting is really important for people because the muscles of the body need to be under tension. So if we think we can just get away without tension on the muscles, I think we're mistaken. So it's good for everybody of all ages, of all walks of life, to put your muscles under tension at some point, 3 days a week. You know, it doesn't have to be overboard, but boy, it does feel good. And I find it stimulates my mind in the right way. When I put my muscles under tension, it makes me more willing to be of service or to do what I have to do to get out of my own way, to lead my successful coaching business and company. And I also then find that my entrepreneurship, my service work directly benefits from my exercise. Like if I don't exercise for a few days, I start to feel less motivated to be engaged with life. I notice that. But as soon as I go to the gym and I just put my muscles under some tension, then it stimulates some like hormone in my body that makes me like, okay, I'm going to take this on. I'm going to go do better. I'm going to do more. I'm going to help more people. And so I find my entrepreneurial journey, which is incredibly rewarding. My entrepreneurial journey is my healing journey. How I serve others is how I serve and heal myself. How I heal myself is how I help others heal, you know? And so my work that I do in the world, which is my membership, Raw Vegan Heroes, and my private coaching is really about healing, high level healing, self-mastery level healing. And I have clients all day, every day. I'm always on the phone all day. I mean, I'm a very busy coach. I have over 3,000 clients in my Raw Vegan Heroes program. And so it takes a lot of focus. It takes a lot of energy to lead a company of that size. And so I have to put my muscles under tension to live an inspired life like that. So I think if you want to, you know, if somebody wants to like have that inspiration, take their life to the next level, have some tool that can help them like get out of a stuck mode or get out of complacency, go to the gym. And feel the discomfort of the weights on your muscles and how weak you are. Feel how weak you are and feel it and admit it to yourself. And work slowly to build up some conditioning in your body. And it's a metaphor for everything in your life. How you condition your muscles at the gym is the same as how you condition your gut. Coming from an animal-based diet to a plant-based diet is how you condition your mind to be a leader and to be an entrepreneur and to have high-level impact and success. It's the same thing. So how we do one thing is how we do everything, and how we live our life with the discipline in our diet is the same discipline we can take to the gym, which is the same discipline we can take to our service work in a company and our entrepreneurial journey of self-empowerment. So it's all interconnected, and we have to put energy in to get energy out. Where's that energy going to come from? It comes from our diet. It comes from making sure we're empowered on a cellular level, but then also empowered on a hormonal level in our body, making sure that we stimulate the proper hormones with weights and exercise. And then the hormones then supply the brain with the right thoughts, because how we affect the body then affects our thoughts. So I think it's so critical that the exercise and the disciplines we implement on a daily basis, you know, it's so critical how those affect our thoughts and our willingness to do harder work, our willingness to be a soldier in the battle of good versus evil, because it takes energy. So we've got to find the energy and give it to ourselves. It's up to us.
Yeah. What about sleep? Are you quite disciplined with your sleep schedule?
Yeah, I am. I make sure I get good sleep because I am a high performer. And if I don't get good sleep, my performance suffers. So I prioritize high performance above all else. I mean, I come on and I do interviews. I'm on YouTube. I talk to clients. I have to lead people. I have 100 people in my business program. I mean, people who are relying on me to teach them how to create successful memberships and thrive at the highest level and create, you know, large income and impact and meaning and purpose and companies. Like, I can't lead that if I don't have sleep. So I prioritize sleep so I can be a high performer. And, you know, there's a part of me that wishes I could be lazy like everybody else, but that's just not in my cards. That's not the type of person that I came here to be. And because I have a vision and a mission to be of service, I am then selfless to the service, which means I don't drink alcohol or eat processed foods or whatever, so I can be of high service, high functionality when I meet my day. I'm ready to take on my day. I'm ready to do good work.
Amazing. Shane, you're such a powerful speaker. It's such a joy to hear you extol the virtues of raw food, because as I say, it's a long time since I've heard anyone else apart from myself. Really so passionate about it. So I'm sure people are curious. Can you tell us about your programs and where we can find you online?
Oh, yes. Thank you. I'd love to. Well, first of all, I'm on social media, Raw Vegan Rising on YouTube and on Instagram and on Facebook. And my website is rawveganrising.com. And on my website, you can find information about my membership, Raw Vegan Heroes. Raw Vegan Heroes is incredible. We've got over 3,000 members, and it's a community. Every day, people are sharing recipes and meal ideas and shopping trips and updates. Thousands and thousands of people sharing what's working for them and what's not working. This is how we actually change. We can't transform alone. So I've created the space, the community, the accountability for real transformation. And Raw Vegan Heroes is an incredible program at an incredible price. It's a nominal fee. It's almost free virtually. It just pays for the coaches. I have a whole team of coaches who are there in the program to support members 24/7 with questions and concerns. So it's probably the best raw vegan coaching program in the world. I've never seen anything else like it. It comes with hundreds of hours of training videos, downloads, meal plans, action plans you can take, video courses, everything someone would need to be a successful raw vegan. It's really jam-packed full of high-level accountability, knowledge, support, wisdom, and community. So that program is on my website under the membership tab. You can learn there, but it's also linked in all my social media. If you go to the, you know, the bio of any of my social medias or in my YouTube videos, the link is there. It's pretty much everywhere I make content. People can find my program. I really go out of my way to make it available to people. And then the other thing is understanding, like, when we hit higher levels of empowerment and success, we might need other levels of mentorship and coaching. I make myself available for high level mentorship. And I mentor with people all day. I work with people to do juice fasting and bowel cleansing and detoxification of the body. I work with people to rebuild the gut and master a plant-based diet. I work with people to start memberships, start coaching programs, and start being out there, putting themselves out there and taking their wisdom and knowledge and implementing it into coaching programs to be very successful with their service work. Right. So when we already have healing, the next level is service. And so those, that's the spectrum of apprenticeship I offer to people, from my very affordable coaching, group coaching program, all the way through business training and service mentorship like that. So all that's available on my website, rawveganrising.com. Thanks for letting me talk about it. I love the service work that I do. It's my passion.
Jim, it's been such a complete joy. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me on. Much love and blessings to you and everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening. You can check out the products we've been talking about by visiting Raw Living, rawliving.co.uk. And if you haven't got an account already, then do sign up. You get £5 off your first order. And also please do like, subscribe, and share this podcast. It really does help.